ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो टुडे विल बी डिस्कसिंग ऑन श्रीमद् भागवतम 11.17 टेक्स्ट 23 एंड 24 मेखाला जीना दंदाक्ष ब्रह्मसूत्र कमंडलुन जटिलो दौता दद्वासो रक्ता पीता कुशान धादात मेखालजीना दंदाक्ष ब्रह्मसूत्र कमंडलुन जटिलो दौता द्वासो रक्ता पीता कुशान धदात मेखा जीना दंदाक्ष ब्रह्मा सूत्र कमंडलुन चठिलो दौदात वासो रक्ता पीता कुशान धदात मेखला बेल्ट अजीना डियर स्किन दंडा स्टाफ अक्षा बीड नेकलेस ब्रह्म सूत्र ब्राह्मण थ्रेड कमंडलून एंड वाटर पॉट चथीला विथ मैटेड अनरूली है अधूता विदाउट पॉलिशिंग ब्लीचिंग और आयरनिंग Tadvasa, the teeth and clothes, Akratta Pitha, without accepting a luxurious or sensuous seat, Kushan, Kushagras, Dadhat, carrying in his hand. The translation is as follows. The brahmachari should regularly dress with a belt of straw and deerskin garments. He should wear matted hair, carry a rod and water pot and be decorated with aksha beads and a sacred thread. Carrying pure kusha grass in his hand, he should never accept a luxurious or sensuous sitting place. He should not unnecessarily polish his teeth, nor should he bleach and iron his clothes. The purport is as follows. The word adhuta dadvasa indicates that a renounced brahmachari is not concerned with a glistening smile to attract the opposite sex, nor does he pay much attention to his outer garments. Brahmachari life is meant for austerity and obedience to the spiritual master, so that later in life, when one becomes a businessman, politician or intellectual brahmana, one will be able to call upon resources of character, discipline, self-control, austerity and humility. Student life as described here is far different from the mindless hedonism known as modern education. Of course, in the modern age, Krishna conscious brahmacharis cannot artificially adopt the ancient dress and ritualistic duties described here. But the essential values of self-control, purity and obedience to a bona fide spiritual master are just as necessary today as they were in Vedic times. Text 24. Snana bhojana homeshu japochare chavagyatah na chindayan nakaromani kakshopasya gatanapi. Translation is as follows. A brahmachari should always remain silent while bathing, eating, attending sacrificial performances, chanting japa or passing stool and urine. He should not cut his nails and hair, including the armpits and pubic hair. Purport. Narad Muni gives a similar technical description of Vedic brahmachari life in Canto 7, Chapter 12 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Agyanti Vrindasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Milimayan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manu Bhistam Stapitam Mena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yukta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadhuvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishaka Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Taru Vesha Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Padhita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Kaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So welcome for the morning Bhagavatam class. So these two slokas which we just read, once you read the slokas and when you read the purports, one of the understandings which comes out is that whichever ashram one may be, whether he may be in brahmachari, grihastha, vanasprastha or sannyas, one thing is very clear that his life should be dedicated to serving Guru, the Vaishnavas and Krishna. Our external position, whatever it may be, but the most important thing is we have to be in whatever position, external or whatever circumstances we may be, we should always be serving Guru, Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Actually, in today's world, there's, today, like what we spoke of, serving Krishna, Guru and the Vaishnavas, today it is the opposite. Today people are just serving their own senses, their own egoistic pursuits. And because of that, we see so much chaos in society, so much dissatisfaction in society. So, people are discontent in life, whether they are billionaires or pauper in the street. People are not content, people are not happy. Why? Because they have deviated from this principle. Which principle? Principle of serving Guru, Krishna and the Vaishnavas. And like I mentioned to you, like people, we are so selfish. Own egoist pursuits. We are concerned with our own sense gratification. And the more we gratify our senses, the more we condition ourselves. The more we distance ourselves from Krishna. This concept of conditioning. We enjoy materially, we condition our tendency. We condition our inclination more stronger for future sense gratification. And then in future, we again indulge in sense gratification. And again we make stronger our inclination for sense gratification. Again we do sense gratification, we make our inclination more stronger. This keeps on going round and round and round. There's no hope to come out. This concept of conditioning which we're talking about. In my college, I studied psychology. So once in a college, the professor, she was a lady, she came to take the class of the psychology. She told all the students, Repeat after me. This is in college. So she told all of us, repeat after me. So we were ready. So she said, repeat York, York, York. The students said, okay. York, York, York. She said, Y-O-R-K, Y-O-R-K, Y-O-R-K. We also said, Y-O-R-K, Y-O-R-K, Y-O-R-K. She said, York, York, York. We also said, York, York, York. She again said, Y-O-R-K, York. We also said, Y-O-R-K, York. Then she asked the whole class, what is the capital of United States of America? Most of the students said, New York. I bet some of you in your mind also would be saying New York. But actually, the capital of United States of America is Washington, D.C. And a lot of students said New York. Now just see, all of the students, when they had walked into the class, literally all of them knew that the capital of United States of America is Washington, D.C. But just a few minutes of conditioning changed the perception of the reality, of the real thing. Just a few minutes. Just a few minutes of conditioning changed the understanding of the reality. Now imagine, we living entities, we are part and parcel of the Lord. Huh? When we have come down on this material world, because we've been conditioning for, you know, life after life, sense gratification, people are saying enjoy life. We've been conditioning ourselves from the real reality. Now imagine how difficult it would be for us to come back to our original position of knowing that we are the eternal servant of Krishna. Imagine. Just few minutes of conditioning in this college class changed our reality. Imagine for so many lifetimes we are just adding negative conditioning. So how difficult it would be to reinstall ourselves in the real constituent position. It is only by the mercy of Krishna, the Vaishnavas, that we can come out of this conditioning and understand our true self, that we are the eternal servants of Krishna. And sometimes devotees come up to us and says, Prabhuji, bahut conditioning hai mera, japan nahi hota hai, ye hota hai, you know, Prabhuji, so many anarthas are coming in my heart. Actually, what happens is, when a person starts coming to Krishna consciousness, After a few months, he feels that, okay, I'm already half pure devotee, and after a few more months, I may become a pure devotee. Usually sometimes people have this concept. But as they go deeper into chanting, as they go deeper into hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and associating devotees, they understand, God, ye anarthas itna mere mein. There's so much anarthas. So sometimes devotees say, Prabhuji, my conditioning is so bad. What to do about it? But if we are sincere, we can channelize our conditioning to come closer to Krishna. If we are sincere, again, the catchword is sincerity. I'll give you an example. Once I know of a devotee, this is before coming to Krishna consciousness. This devotee, he was a cricket fanatic. He would watch cricket, read about cricket, cut photos of cricket stars, put it in his room. It was like reading. His eating, drinking, sleeping, everything was cricket. He would go for all the matches available in cricket. So somehow he came in touch with Krishna conscious devotees and he took up to Krishna consciousness. And he started chanting 16 rounds. Then he understood, cricket kya hai, phukat ka time pass hai. So he gave up his watching cricket and reading cricket, everything. So he would chant. So then, actually what had happened, I'll rewind a little bit back. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, once he was watching this one day-night match was going between India and Australia. This is many, many years back. This is the time during Kapil Dev's time. So when he was watching this match, before he came to Krishna consciousness, then India, first Australia had batted, then India was chasing the total. So Kapil Dev came in the middle to bat. So when Kapil Dev came to bat, in the first ball itself, Kapil Dev went for a big swing. And he missed the ball and the wicket caught the ball and stumped him out. The Kapil Dev was out in the first ball. So in the end, India finally lost that match. So some commentators were mentioning that, why Kapil Dev had to go for the big hit on the first ball itself. He should have played 3-4 balls, acquainted himself, got aware of the circumstances surrounding, and then played his strokes. So after this, another matches, this person watched and like that, and later he came to Krishna consciousness. So when he came to Krishna consciousness, and then he left up watching his cricket, everything. So when he would sit for japa, after 2-3 rounds of japa, then he would become intense in a japa. After 2-3 rounds, he would say that I would take 2-3 rounds to warm up in my japa, and then after 2-3 rounds, I would take up my japa very intensely. So once, after 2-3 rounds of his warming up, so-called his warming up in the japa, after his third or fourth round, when he started chanting very intensely, then the next day, as he sat for his japa, somehow the thought of the cricket match came in his mind. And that also of this Kapil Dev's episode. He thought, "Arey, some commentators were saying that Kapil Dev should have played 3-4 balls and acquitted himself, and then played his big shots. But Kapil Dev, in his first ball, only went for a big hit. Why should I also wait for 2-3 rounds to warm up? Right from my first Mahamantra, I should put my full energy." And he put his full energy from his first Mahamantra only. And then, this became regularly. And then whenever he would sit for japa, and whenever that tendency came to him, "Thoda bhi dheere se japa karta ya lightly, later I'll pick it up." He would remember Kapil Dev. He said, "Arey, no, my, right from now only I should intensify my japa." And he would pray to the Lord for Kapil Dev also. He prayed to the Lord. He said, "I've learned this important lesson from Kapil Dev." And he would pray to the Lord for Kapil Dev. So the point what I'm saying is, his conditioning for cricket was there. But now he became a sincere devotee. When we are sincere, our past conditioning also, Krishna gives us the intelligence sometimes how to even use our past conditioning in a Krishna conscious manner to come closer to Krishna. मैं ये नहीं बोल रहा अभी आप लोग जाके कंडीशन कर लो ताकि यू नो वी शुड व्हाट एवर सिचुएशन वी शुड ट्राई टू रिकंडीशन आवर सेल्फ बट अ पास्ट बैड कंडीशन इज नॉट अ ड्रॉबैक इज नॉट अ बिग ऑब्स्टिकल इन अ कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस दैट पॉइंट आई एम ट्राइंग टू मेक एंड अनदर थिंग इज दैट व्हेन वी आर अनदर थिंग इज दैट अ पास्ट कंडीशनिंग ऑल्सो You know, we can, when we understand that, you know, these anarthas are not leaving us, when we are chanting, sometimes we succumb to anarthas, again we get up, again we chant sincerely, again gir jate, again get up, again we chant sincerely, associate, fit there's some fall down, slip, again we get up. I'm so sick, God, this conditioning, kya bana ke rakha hai mera ko? When will I get over it? We feel sometimes so helpless. So sometimes because of this past conditioning, we can use that helplessness to cry out sincerely to Krishna. We can convert that helplessness to a genuine cry to the Lord for help, seeking His help. Once there was a particular drama to be performed. So in that drama, in the practice time, there was a particular scene where a person was with a stick hitting the other person. And he was hitting him, the other person, on the thighs. So in the drama time, they had put padding on the thighs. They had put a lot of thick cotton cloth and they had done padding. And outside he had worn some cloth. So in the practice time for the drama, this person was supposed to hit. He was hitting him on his thigh, the practice. And this person, he had to act, ah, ooh, like that, you know. So they practiced a lot. So when the main day for the drama came, so all the audience is there in the theater, and this drama has started. Now that same scene came, where this person is supposed to hit the person on the thighs. Now it's the real drama day, there's audience in the auditorium, they are seeing. So this person starts hitting the other person on the thigh. And the other person who's getting hit, he's saying, ah, ooh, ah, ooh. And suddenly in the middle, ah! What had happened is, the person who was hitting, he miscalculated and hit the other person little below the padding level. And when he got really hit, pehle to uska call ke, ah, ooh, ah, ooh. When he got really hit, a genuine cry from his heart came out. Ah! You know. So sometimes, when we understand a conditioning, it's like, ah! Krishna! A genuine call from a heart, genuine cry from a heart comes out. Like when this guy got hit below his padding level, a genuine cry from his heart came out. So when we understand a real conditioning, a genuine cry from a heart comes out. Krishna! Please, my Lord, you are my only hope. Kindly intervene. So again, our past conditioning, we are sincere, we can convert it as a catalyst to come closer to the Lord. Then another thing, the dharma of fire. What is the dharma of fire? The dharma of fire is to give heat and light. What is the dharma of liquid in its natural condition? The dharma of liquid in its natural condition is that it has a liquidity. It's liquid. The dharma of water. The dharma of water in its natural condition is that it is liquidity. It's liquid. So in the same way, the dharma of we spirit soul. What is the dharma? The dharma of we spirit soul is to love and serve Krishna. This is the eternal dharma. And when we forget this, then all our misery starts. Once Jayanand Prabhu, the famous disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who would build the different rath. Jayanand Prabhu, such a pure devotee of the Lord. Once a devotee asked Jayanand Prabhu, Prabhuji, what can we do so that we can go back to Godhead very fast? Jayanand Prabhu in his humility replied, I am too busy serving Srila Prabhupada to think about these matters. Jayanand Prabhu was so busy in serving Prabhupada, he never thought of these things. Kya kab jayega back to Godhead? Ye life mein, this life mein, you know. Sometimes we devotees are caught, Prabhuji, ye life mein jane ka, kida jane ka, back to God jane ka. But Acharya say that serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna would want to himself come and see you. A Jivan Vaishnava doesn't want to see Krishna. You know, ajkal ghazals and so-called people who are not devotees, they sing ghazals or kirtan, they say, Bhagwan, kab mere samne aap aayenge? A genuine devotee of the Lord, he's not concerned with having darshan of the Lord or not. He's just concerned with one thing, that is service to the Lord. Service to the Lord, that is his life and soul. You see Hanumanji. In Hanumanji's life, Hanumanji did not look for peace. He just looked for service. You see, anytime, do you find any photo of Hanumanji sitting in a relaxed position? Never. Always just, you read all the Leela wherever Hanumanji is there. His only concern was serving Lord Ram, serving Sita Maya, serving the devotees of Lord Ram. And no obstacle was an obstacle for him. He just considered service. Service was his life and soul. A devotee is even ready to renounce. A devotee is even ready to renounce even renunciation for the service of the Lord. You all may understand. Kya googly hai kya ye? A devotee is even ready to renounce renunciation even for the service of the Lord. A very good example is that of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was insulted by his mother-in-law, he went to the forest. Narad Muni came, he did tapasya. And when he became a pure soul, Dhruva Maharaj had become a pure soul and he was living in the forest. Then Lord Vishnu told him that you should please go back to your father's kingdom and run the kingdom. Take the functions of a king. Now for a pure devotee like Dhruva Maharaj, you know, he was so happy in the forest. He was very happy in the forest. But he renounced that to go and to go to his father's kingdom and take the position of a king and run that kingdom. To take the position of a king, there are so many material things and material, you have to get in material consciousness and so many things are there which are sometimes not so palatable for a pure devotee to deal with. But as a seva, as a service, he renounced his life in the forest and took this higher service. In the same way, you can see Prabhupada's example. Prabhupada, he was so happy in Radha Damodar temple in a small that room. He was so happy, chanting the name of the Lord, reading the scriptures, so happy. But he gave up that position for what? To live in the Bowery in the USA. I mean, to live in the Bowery, it's one of the hellish places on this planet Earth. There are drug addicts are roaming around, there are criminals, there are so much robbery and so many things going on. But Prabhupada left the comfort of the Radha Damodar temple, left the comfort of Vrindavan. He renounced that for what? To go to the USA for service, for a higher service, to serve Lord Krishna. to take reconditioned souls out from our cycle of birth and death. So Srila Prabhupada also demonstrated through his life. Then service attitude means being responsible to. When you talk of service, service means a service attitude. And service means being responsible to. Once Srila Prabhupada with some devotees had gone out to the temple to some place. Then Srila Prabhupada asked one of his disciples accompanying him, that, did you get the tape recorder? So this disciple said, Srila Prabhupada, I forgot. Then this disciple said, maybe Srila Prabhupada, it was Krishna's plan that I forget. That I forget to bring the tape recorder. So Prabhupada looked at this disciple and Prabhupada told him, please do not blame your stupidity on Krishna. Prabhupada said, please don't blame your stupidity on Krishna. So again, service means being responsible. We do it with a lot of detail, with a lot of diligence. And then, there's the example in Mahabharata of Duryodhan. Duryodhan, he made chappan bhog and invited Krishna. But Krishna did not go there. Whereas, Krishna went to Vidur's house. And there, that time Vidur's wife was there. When she saw Krishna, she was not prepared. That she didn't have any information that Krishna may come in the house. Then, you know, she was looking what's the nearest thing available. She found some bananas. And she peeled off the banana. And in a nervousness, she gave Krishna the banana peel, the banana skin to eat. And Krishna was happily eating the banana skin. Now why? Krishna was seeing her devotional attitude. Krishna was not seeing the external. Krishna was seeing her service attitude. Whereas Duryodhan, from external he did the maximum best. But he didn't have that devotional attitude. Whereas Vidur's wife, from external things she didn't have anything. But internally she was so rich. She was giving Krishna what? Banana peels, banana skin. And Krishna was lovingly eating that. Then, there are three reasons why we need to serve. The first, service connects us with the Lord and His devotees. Second, service is a means to reciprocate with Guru's and Prabhupada's mercy. Third, seva helps us to control and purify our mind and senses. So it's very, very important. And then another thing, just the opportunity to serve is not by coincidence. And we as Vaishnava, as practicing sadhana, sometimes we get so many service opportunities. Sometimes there's a tendency to take it for granted, to take it lightly. But let me remind you, our scriptures and acharyas, they tell us that anyone who's given even 1 second's opportunity to do service, that's not by coincidence. This person must have done a lot of pious activities in his previous lives, or he must have served a Vaishnava. Because of that, Krishna has become happy with him and given him that opportunity to serve. Now it's up to our free will to use that opportunity and make the best use by taking that opportunity and serve. So whenever we get any service opportunity, we should consider ourselves very, very fortunate. Then Vrindavan Das Thakur said that if we do 3 things, we will go back to Godhead. 1, chant the holy name of the Lord. 2, serve the Vaishnavas. 3, no Vaishnava offense. Again here, one of the points was serving. Then once in one of the important temples, one of the leaders there, he was handling one very important department. And to manage that department, he had so many problems he had to encounter and tackle. So he was a little caught up with all those problems. So once Srila Prabhupada had come to the temple, so this devotee, he went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you know, I try to manage this department and there's so many problems. I sometimes become a little crazy. I don't know how. I become really so much bogged down with this problem. Then this devotee told Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, you are managing so many temples. This whole ISKCON, full worldwide, you're managing so many devotees. You deal with so many situations, so many challenging situations, so many problems come up. How do you manage, Srila Prabhupada? So Prabhupada gave a fantastic reply. Prabhupada said, I see the problems as service. Just see what a beautiful reply. Prabhupada said, I see the problems which come in my life as service. Then there's one quote from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.27, text 8 in the Purport. In the Purport, Prabhupada writes, a devotee always thinks of Krishna and how to render better service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That should be his only anxiety. Huh? Just see, what a beautiful statement. A devotee is ready to take up anxiety for what? To serve the Lord, to serve the Lord's devotee. Once Narad Muni wanted to know who has achieved the highest level of devotion. So Narad Muni went to Indra and told Indra that, you have so much devotion, you're so great. So Indra said, no, actually, I don't have much devotion. Actually, Brahmaji, he has more devotion than me. So Naraji goes to Brahmaji and says, Brahmaji, that you have so much devotion, so high devotion, you are glorifying Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma said, actually, I don't have much devotion. Actually, Lord Shiva has more devotion than me. He has very high devotion. So Narad Muni goes to Lord Shiva. And then Narad Muni tells Lord Shiva that, you know, you have so much devotion for the Lord, so much love for the Lord. Then Lord Shiva says, actually, you know, I don't have much devotion. Actually, Prahlad Maharaj, he has more devotion than me. Then Narad Muni goes to Prahlad Maharaj. And it was Prahlad Maharaj that you have done so much sacrifice, you gave us so much to serve the Lord. You have so much love for the Lord. Then Prahlad Maharaj says, actually, you know, I don't have much love for the Lord. Actually, Hanumanji has more better love for me than the Lord. Then Narad Muni goes to Hanumanji. Then Narad Muni tells Hanumanji, you have so much devotion and love for the Lord. You did so fantastic seva for Lord Ram and Sitaji. So Hanumanji says that, you know, actually, I don't have much love. Actually, more than me, the Pandavas have love for the Lord. The Pandavas have more love for the Lord than me. Then Narad Muni goes to the Pandavas. And Narad Muni tells the Pandavas that, you know, you have so much love for the Lord. And I was just glorifying the Pandavas. Then the Pandavas said, actually, you know, you don't have so much love for the Lord. Actually, you know who has more love for us? More love for the Lord than us? It is Uddhavji. Uddhavji has more love for us. More love for the Lord than us. Then Naraji goes to Uddhavji and he starts glorifying Uddhavji for his love for the Lord. Then Uddhavji in his humility looks down and says, you know, actually I don't have much love for the Lord. Actually, more love than me, the gopis have for the Lord. Then Naraji goes to the gopis and glorifies the gopis. Basically the gopis, they have the highest love for the Lord. And they are the real ideal example of what is service, the gopis. And Radharani is the supreme example of service to the lordships. When you're talking of the gopis, they were so much into that service attitude. Just their whole life was to serve the Lord. In fact, Lord Krishna was so much in debt to them. In fact, there's a leela that you all know of that. Once Lord Krishna told Naraji that, you know, I'm having a headache. It can only be relieved if you get the dust of the feet of the devotees of the Lord. So Naraji goes everywhere and asking big tapasvi, big rishis, big munis that please give little dust off our feet. Krishna is having headache. Your dust will relieve Krishna's headache. But there are other people said, hey, how can we give a headache? We'll go to hell. But when Naraji went to the gopis and told the gopis that Krishna is having headache, if you give your dust, it will go away. Gopis instantly, without thinking for a moment, they took whatever little dust was available from their feet and gave to Naraji. Said, you please take it. The gopis were ready to go to hell for eternity just to relieve Krishna for one moment of headache. This is the service attitude of the gopis. In fact, Krishna was so much overwhelmed by the service attitude of the gopis. Krishna told the gopis, I want to give you something higher. I want to give you something more. But what can I give you? Please be satisfied with just serving me. There's nothing higher than giving you that. Please be content and happy by the fact that you're serving me. So again, the point, service to Krishna is the highest. In fact, once in a temple only, what happens is, normally in festival days, when we have fasting till 12 in the evening, there's a true story. Once what had happened is, there was a fasting till evening. So there was one devotee, he would always in advance before giving out nimbu pani, nimbu lemon juice to anyone, he would fill two bottles for himself and have it. And then he would start serving. So one day, he thought to himself, every time I do this, today I will not fill the bottles for myself. I will not have in the beginning. I will just serve the devotees first, nimbu pani. In the end, if it's left, I will have. So that day he did that. He didn't keep anything for himself. He served the devotees very nicely. And in the end, there was fortunately some nimbu pani left for him. He had that. So that evening he was sharing with other devotees. He was saying, today, you know, I'm feeling a little different type of bliss. I'm feeling a little different type of ecstasy. Now again, the point, service. When we genuinely serve Krishna and the devotees, we have a different type of bliss in our heart. A different type of satisfaction level in our heart. And we have to understand one thing, that can we approach Krishna directly? No. We cannot approach Krishna directly. We can approach Krishna only through the medium of his devotees. In fact, Krishna says in the scriptures that higher than worshipping me is worshipping my devotees. Regarding this, I would like to tell you a story. The story happened in South India. There is the deities of Lord Varadaraj. Lord Varadaraj is a Vishnu form of the Lord. So, in this temple where the deity Lord Varadaraj was there, there was a very pure devotee of the Lord, Kanchipurn. Kanchipurn would serve the Lord with a very pure heart. And a lot of times he would be fanning the Lord a lot of times. And Kanchipurn, he was so pure that he would converse, he would talk with the Lord. And the Lord would also talk with Kanchipurn. So there was another devotee there who would serve Kanchipurn very nicely. Very nicely would serve Kanchipurn. And this devotee knew that Kanchipurn talks with the Lord and discusses things with the Lord. So one day this devotee asked Kanchipurn that, Prabhuji, when you talk to the Lord, please can you ask him that after I leave this body, will I go back to the Lord's abode? So Kanchipurn said, okay, when I talk to the Lord, I'll ask you this question. So when Kanchipurn was again finding the Lord and he was talking with the Lord, with Lord Varadaraj. So Kanchipurn asked the Lord that, my dear Lord, this devotee who serves, you know, so nicely, he was asking me that at the end of his life, will he go back to the Lord's abode, to your eternal abode? So Lord Varadaraj replied, yes, this devotee is serving you very nicely. And because of that, please tell him that when he gives up this body, he will go back to the eternal abode of the Lord. So Kanchipurn told the reply to this devotee and this devotee was very happy. So once when Kanchipurn was fanning the Lord, there was a thought in Kanchipurn's mind. Whether will I go back to the Lord's kingdom after I leave this body? So he was fanning. So the Lord asked Kanchipurn, is there anything in your mind? Kanchipurn was saying, no my Lord, nothing, nothing. He was fanning. The Lord asked, no Kanchipurn, tell me, is there anything in your mind? No Lord, nothing, nothing. He was fanning. You know, devotee was a little hesitant for these things. You know, he was fanning. But the Lord is in everyone's heart as Paramat. The Lord said, Kanchipurn, tell me, is there something in your mind? So Kanchipurn said, my dear Lord, I'm just wondering whether after I leave this body, will I go back to the eternal abode, to your eternal abode? So Lord said, no. The Lord said, see, you're serving me, but you're not serving my devotees. This is a special leela we have to understand. So Kanchipurn was a little stuck back. So Kanchipurn says, Cha. So Kanchipurn immediately he arranged for some other devotees to do all the different service of the Lord. And he disguised himself and he went to a very far off place. He wanted to serve the devotees. So he went to a very far off place and there was a very pure devotee of the Lord by the name of Goshtipurn. So Kanchipurn, he disguised himself and he went to Goshtipurn and he said, I would like to serve you. I would like to serve your cows and everything. You just give me whatever few meals. He was disguised so no one could recognize him. So he was given that service. So he would stay in a small hut made for him. And very humbly he would serve the devotees. And he would take care of the cows. And this went for many, many days. And somehow, later on, it came to the notice of Kanchipurn, Goshtipurn, that God, this person who had disguised and was serving me, is actually the famous Kanchipurn who talks with the Lord. Then Goshtipurn told Kanchipurn that, you know, I can't be taking seva from you. Please, Abidu. And he sent him back very nicely back to Lord Varadaraji. And then Kanchipurn, he resumed his service of fanning the Lord. And after fanning for some time, he asked the Lord that, my dear Lord,
Will I go back to eternal abode now?
The Lord said, yes.
Now since you have served my devotees, you will go back to my eternal abode after you leave this body.
Now again the point what we can learn from this story is that service, the Lord, again what the Lord has said, serving my devotees is higher than serving me. The Lord becomes supremely happy and pleased when we serve the Lord's devotee. Then there's another very nice story in our scriptures. There's the story of Jadu Thakur and Kalidas. Jadu Thakur, he was a very pure devotee of the Lord. But he was born from an external angle in a very low class family. But he was a very pure devotee of the Lord. And Kalidas wanted to have the remnants of Jadu Thakur. But Jadu Thakur would never ever give his remnants to Kalidas. Kalidas was born in a very high family. So one day Kalidas bought some mangoes and he went to Jadu Thakur's house and he gave the mangoes to Jadu Thakur. And then they talked very nicely. And then Kalidas said, okay, now I will leave your house. So while leaving, Jadu Thakur accompanied Kalidas to small distance just to see him off as a courtesy. So after walking few distance, then Kalidas told Jadu Thakur, now you can go back to your house, I will go. So Jadu Thakur Prabhu went back to his house. When Jadu Thakur Prabhu went back to his house, Kalidas, he saw the footprints of Jadu Thakur when he was walking back. And Kalidas, with such sincere devotional attitude, he took some dust from those footprints and he placed it on his head. Kalidas, he had such respect, such awe and reverence, such devotional attitude, such service attitude towards the Vaishnavas. He was very famous for that. And then when it became dark, what Kalidas did is, he went and hid side of the house. Not only in the previous times, they didn't have a dustbin in the house where you tap, the dustbin opens up, you throw whatever kachra and then the dustbin closes and all that. Then in the previous time, whatever kachra, whatever had to be thrown, there was a pit side of the house and you threw whatever, like banana skins and other things, you threw in that pit. So Kalidas, he was waiting in the pit in the dark. He was waiting, when will these banana skins which Jadu Thakur Prabhu will have, when he throws it in the pit, then I will take it. So Jadu Thakur Prabhu, after having those bananas, he threw those bananas, threw those mango skins in this pit. Then Kalidas was waiting for that. Kalidas picked up those mango skins and he put in his mouth, and with a lot of gratitude, he was just relishing those mango skins with so much awe and reverence. And after some time, Kalidas, he went to Lord Jagannath's temple. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before going, he had come to have darshan of the Lord. And before going to take darshan of the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu threw from his kamandalu, he would take out some water and wash his feet. And then he would go to the Lord Jagannath's temple to have darshan. There were many devotees there. Govinda was also there. And then Kalidas was also there. When Lord Chaitanya from his kamandalu was taking water to wash his feet, Kalidas, he bent down, he took that water which was washing the Lord's feet in front of the Lord. He took it with his hand and drank it. No devotee would dare to even think of attempting doing this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would never like something like this to be done. And devotees knew it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would never allow anyone to do something, even 1% of that. But Kalidas, he was doing in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seeing it. Then again, second time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again washed his leg. Second time again, Kalidas bent down. He took that water which washed the Lord's feet, took it and drank it. Govinda is seeing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeing, all the devotees are seeing. They are wondering, what is Kalidas doing? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still quiet. Third time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again washes his feet. Kalidas bends down, takes that water again in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and drinks it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still saying, Govinda is saying, devotees are saying, they are wondering what is going to happen. Fourth time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes water from his kamandalu and washes his feet. Fourth time again, Kalidas bends down to take that water. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells to Kalidas, Kalidas, enough. Enough. So then Kalidas stops. Now this mercy which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Kalidas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not give this mercy
to anyone except Kalidas. Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this mercy to Kalidas? He gave it to Kalidas because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that reverence and the respect which Kalidas had for the Vaishnavas. The respect, the service attitude which Kalidas had for the Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that and rewarded Kalidas for that. So again, service to the Vaishnava, that's supreme. Then, again, when we talk of service to the Vaishnavas, having faith in the Vaishnavas, there's this famous story. King Kulashekar, you know, he was such a pure devotee of the Lord. He would always be discussing the scriptures with the devotees. And so his ministers, one day, they were thinking, King Kulashekar was also giving a lot of, giving sufficient time, adequate time, for his kingdom and other political and administrative measures. But the ministers thought that our king is giving too much time for devotees, spending a lot of time with devotional service, and spends a lot of time among the devotees. So the ministers thought that if he reduces little time there and he gives more time to the kingdom, it will be better. So the ministers thought, if we can just shake our king's faith among the devotees, then we'll be successful. So they thought of a plan. Basically, there was a very nice temple made, and the deities, there was a lot of gold ornaments which King Kulashekar had given for the deities, real gold ornaments. And there was a very special necklace, very costly necklace which the king had given for the deities. So the pujaris who were the devotees of the Lord, they were taking care of all the deity paraphernalia and the deity services. The devotees were taking care of that service. So the ministers, they made a plan, and they thought that if we get that costly necklace, get it stolen, and then we bring it to the king's notice, then automatically it will be revealed that some devotee has stolen that. So king's faith among the devotees will be shaken. So the ministers did that, and they got that necklace stolen. And then this information reached King Kulashekar. Then King Kulashekar, so all the evidence, everything was pointing that some devotee has only stolen. But King Kulashekar knew that no, the devotees can't have stolen it. King Kulashekar had 101% faith in the devotees that the devotees can't be doing this. These devotees who are serving the Lord and who are serving the deity form in the temple, they can't be doing this. And they have not done it. But the whole circumstance and evidence pointed that some devotee has stolen. So King Kulashekar, all the ministers were there, devotees were there. King Kulashekar was there. So King Kulashekar told the minister, okay, do one thing. You bring a pot, bring an empty pot. So the minister bought an empty pot. It had a little opening on the top. Then the king told the minister, go and get a very poisonous cobra snake. So the minister is wondering, what will happen? So the ministers got hold of a very dangerous cobra snake, and the snake charmer bought it. Then the king told, put the snake in this pot, earthen pot. And the snake was put, and the lid was put on top. King Kulashekar was standing near the pot, and the ministers and other people standing. Then King Kulashekar told all the ministers that I have 100% faith that devotees have not stolen that necklace. I am going to put my hand in this pot. If the snake bites me, that means the devotee has stolen. And if the snake does not bite me, that means the devotee is innocent. And the king said so fast and removed the lid and put his hand so fast, the ministers, they just could not, they had no time to react. King Kulashekar put his hand in the pot with the cobra, dangerous cobra there. Few seconds went, more seconds went, few minutes went. King took out his hand. The cobra had not bitten. When the ministers saw this, the ministers fell at the feet of King Kulashekar and they begged for the forgiveness. They told the whole thing and begged for the forgiveness from the king, because the ministers knew that our king is not an ordinary soul. So this story, why I said that is because to show that if we have supreme faith in the Vaishnavas and we serve them with all reverence, Krishna will give us this pure love of Godhead. And when we are talking of this service attitude, our scriptures say that we should be a servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees of the Lord. In this context, once a senior Prabhupada disciple, he told a very wonderful story. He told that once there was a very rich man. And this rich man, his wife had already passed away. This rich man had 3 sons. And this rich man had become very old. And this rich man, he also died. So the next day, the lawyer comes and he makes the 3 sons sit down. And in this family also, there was one servant. Actually, this rich man, he had a servant since 40 years. This rich man, the servant, since 40 years had served this family with his life and soul. In fact, he had taken up many challenging situations and saved the family in times of danger also. So he was more than a family member for this family. So this lawyer called all these 3 sons. And the lawyer told them that, see, this is your father's will. And the father's will, what it was written? In the father's will it was written that the father had 6 companies. One was a shipping company, one was a club. And like that, there was a diamond company. Like that, he has 6 companies. All the 6 companies are worth 400, 500 crores. Very highly worth in the market. So in the will it was written, the lawyer read out the will to the 3 sons and told in the will it was written that I have these 6 companies and each son can take only 1 company. First, my eldest son should be asked which company he wants. Whichever company he wants, he should be given that. In the balance 5, the second son should be asked. And whichever he wants, he should be given that. And out of the 4, the third son should be asked. And whichever he asks, he should be given that. And of the balance 3 which are left, it should be given, these 3 companies should be given to the servant. So all the 3 sons, they knew that the servant, you know, he's more than a family member. And these 3 sons, they were a little more in the mode of goodness. So they didn't object to this will. They said, no problem. We'll accept others' father's will. So the first son was asked, out of the 6 companies, what do you want? The first son, you know, he said he had a liking towards shipping. He said, I will take the shipping company. So he took the shipping company. The second son, he was asked, what do you want? The second son, he was like a sports enthusiast. He said, I will take the club. You know, they have football and cricket and hockey. I will take the club. So he took the club. So the third son, he was asked, what will you take? The third son said, I will take the servant. What did the third son say? I will take the servant. So automatically, all the balance property goes to the third son. The point is that when we take this attitude of being a servant of the servant, in the end, we'll always be a gainer. So in the end, it's time. So in the end, I will read you some quotes on this subject matter, on service and service attitude. These quotes are from different bona fide sources. We should be hunger to advance so that we can be a better servant. Another quote. We develop the qualities of those whom we serve. The purpose of sadhana is that it should end in service. The reward of service is simply that we have served. Devotees are willing to serve the Lord without any expectation except for continuance of service. And the last one. O Lord, when will that day be mine when service becomes a habit in my heart? This is my favorite quote. I'll read it again. O Lord, when will that day be mine when service becomes a habit in my heart? Hare Krishna. Thank you. So, time is over. Does anyone have any comments, any questions? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you very much.